I think it is a development that we are sitting here in town, not outside of town, because that makes things that we are showing to ourselves that we do something, not because we are going to a resort and being out of having to schlep ourselves out of the normal environment. We can stay more or less in the same environment and do something sincere, which this is a basic point over here, what I want to try to work on. Now, I will not speak 4 hours straight. That's too much for me too, you know, even though you don't believe, you think Lech can speak all the time without any break, that doesn't go. So we will do it according to the ear. That means I'll say something and we'll discuss a little bit. And I like always, you'll ask questions, and it's important for me that I understand where are you holding. That means whenever there's something awkward or not understandable, so you'll tell me. I'll try to explain myself better. And this will be the interaction. But the topic is embedded in two things. I want to first explain to you why it is so important for me to speak about that topic. Because we already spoke yesterday afternoon about that. That's people which were there. Never mind. But there are two things. One is we have to prepare ourselves before Shavuos. That's one. That's the preparation for Shavuos. We have to know how to do that. And when we are Balabatim, that means we are working people, there is also preparation before Shavuos. Don't think that preparation before Shavuos is better, that you are now going to kill for a few weeks, so you have a Shavuos, you have 1 day kill, or 2 days, or here 3 days this year, you know. So 3 day kill, that's a Shavuos, and that's your Kedushas Hayom, and unbelievable. No. Shavuos is a thing you got for your life. And you got it on Shavuos, and we get that every single year again. And it's something for our life, which is very important that we prepare ourselves for that. And every single year we have to prepare ourselves that we get this Torah for our life. Second is, we are in our community on the fringe to lose central koyches of our lives. That means that I'll try to explain that afterwards. We have to understand that Torah is an opportunity to live. Torah is not only an obligation to live. More and more it becomes clear that Torah is an opportunity to live. And that's a big chiddush, because we always thought that life, that happens here, that happens there, and that's good in every place. Only we are more holy, or we are more obligated, and we'll give the eternal life. We'll be more and more. We are in a certain place that Torah is an opportunity to live, and people which have no Torah, they are looking for other opportunities to live when they are sincere. Because the life, the way it goes on now, is a very dangerous place, which it becomes empty. Yeah? And so those are the two things which I want to address in this, which I would call the topic of this morning, of this working together, is what we would call Simcha Shel Mitzvah. We have to be happy with our mitzvahs. And that is a tricky point. What does that mean? How do you reveal that? What do we do? Yeah? So this is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That is the preparation for Shavuos, which that is a Ramban. I will tell you that. That is a Ramban. We see that together. The Ramban says the preparation for Shavuos is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And preparation for life is Simcha. Now this is the big tricky point, that by us, life and simcha, for us simcha means excitement in today. And this is absolutely wrong. Simcha is not excitement. It is not. Simcha is something much deeper. Excitement is something which intrinsically wears off. Yeah? Intrinsically wears off. So that we have to contemplate together, how can we have a simcha out of this of this of the mitzvahs, because that will also prepare us for life, that we will feel life in the mitzvahs. It's such a tricky point, because mitzvahs are like a constraint. You can't do whatever you want. That's the whole point. But then you are living, then you say, yes, but it's so... You're what? So what? What is there? So that is the challenge. Okay? Good. So I want... Yes?
You saying a person doesn't keep mitzvahs, he's going to become depressed.
No. Don't make me so extreme. I know people who are very happy, which I have no mitzvahs. Only there's a certain ingredient of simcha in Torah, which is beyond.
But what is their meaning? What is the meaning of their lives? And that they're not depressed because they don't have time.
No. You look. You could very much have a meaningful life without your mitzvahs in a certain way that you are trying to. To work things out, and to try to be a reliable person. That's not my opinion now. But don't think that I'm not so happy when we will think that we are on a certain planet and the there's a lot of air around us and no one else is there. But we have something unique, and we'll try to explore that. What is that uniqueness in that realm? But we have to understand that we also have a message for ourselves in a very simple way. So perhaps I'll first explain that. Yeah? I said it yesterday, and yeah, I think it's a very essential thing, and I want to discuss that together because it's dependent on your children, on yourself. We are about to lose ourselves in a ocean of two things, excitement and curiosity. Just two things which you don't see that it's negative. This is the problem. You think curiosity, when you come to me and say curiosity, is a very positive thing. No, it's a very negative thing. I'll explain that soon. You come to me and think that excitement is a very positive thing. No, it's a very negative thing. And I'll explain that. Okay? But these two things together, they kill us. They kill. It's a killer. It's a thing which empties you out. Yeah? And that is the inner core, which people will not tell you about these internet problems which we have in our society, which you don't know how to deal with that. This is this chasana, according to my opinion now, could be that will change. I can't say I really covered this whole thing, it's a whole world. But the way I see it now, it presents in front of a person a merging from excitement and curiosity. And that makes you that you don't live in the world you are now. You don't live in the present. You don't see the depth where you are. You don't see anything what you have. Because it's always this curiosity which moves away from where you are, and it's possible to move away from where you are because there are infinite possibilities there, and you're looking for excitement, you're looking for adrenaline, you're looking for that, and there is excitement going on, and then you can be excited about this, excited about that. This comes out in a very simple way, the way this is the most simple tool I have, the way your children or yourself today are listening to music. It's an insanity because you don't listen a song till the end, even you like it, because in the middle of the song you'll make forward next. That's what you do. MP3, when you have children, they listen to MP3, they enjoy the song, but they don't listen that to the end, till the end. After 2/3 maximum, they go to the next song. It's insane. It's idiotic. It's insane. Not to speak about, good Beethoven sonata, then the end of the movement is very meaningful. You have to listen that thing till the end. And the pause by Schubert, the pause is very meaningful. And you have to live through that pause, which drives you crazy. Because, and that's the whole thing. No. You go further. It's crazy. When you think about it's a crazy society. It's insanity. Yeah, you enjoy it. Again, you enjoy it, but you look, you're curious for the next excitement. Yeah? You're curious for the next excitement. And look, we are adult people, and everyone is afraid from the internet about pornography. Everyone is afraid of that. This is a real danger. But the danger, the point of pornography, when you are professional, I don't know whether you're a mental health professional over here, but when you're a professional, you know that the thing is a tilde of voyeurism. It's not Tyrus notion. Clear? That means it's curiosity and excitement. Same thing. Clear? Has to be very clear. The problem there is not Tyrus notion. That's nonsense. Has nothing to do with Tyrus notion. It is curiosity and excitement. And it's a dangerous hasana. It is a dangerous thing which goes together. You want to be excited, and you're curious. I want to be excited and you're curious. That is the inner core of this whole danger which empties a person out. And then you think you have to live a Protestantic life, you know, that you are like, you know, you have no pleasures, and what more suffering is what better? No. That is the theory I had. That was Rav Kook. That theory was himself a Kohen. But it is an unbelievable theory. It's unbelievable when you are contemplating on that. It is one of the things which are the most unbelievable things which I ever saw. Because all the common denominator of all the religions, without any Yotze Min HaKlal, all the religions, that is from the Mayas and Incas till the Philippinim, till Japan, till Eskimosim, till Falkland, or wherever you find any reminiscence of any religion. The point of the religion is, it comes in dealing with tragedy. That means the place of the priest is next to the dying person. By all of them. Christianity, Muslim, wherever. They all are occupied with death. And there religion comes in. And that is what those, I don't know how to say that, shallow, primitive, aggressive, non-knowledge, they're all these criticisms of religion. They tell you that this is a primitive attempt to cope with the finality of life. Yeah, it's something like this. That's what you say. That's a nice way to say it. It's a primitive attempt to cope with that. And the only religion which makes which throws that into your face is Torah, is Yiddishkeit. Because a Kohen can't be by the mess. Can't. A Kohen, when someone is going to die, when he's with Gerusis, the Kohen will tell him, okay, we'll see each other in the next world, Saigizot, and he goes out. Finished. You can't be there. Also, it's a Yisrael Torah. You can't be there. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable uniqueness of Yiddishkeit, that Yiddishkeit is not obsessed with death. No, we are obsessed with life. Yeah? Our religion is obsessed with life, and that is the problem. And I was very much taken aback and thought about that you have intelligent people, and when you are more into the flavor, I don't know how it's over here, where there are religions over here in by the Goyim over here. In South Africa they are, I don't know. And I was growing up with that in Luzern we had so once in a while I thought about that. And they are intelligent people, but they are very much this flavor of depth which is stemming from that awareness of death is very much a a topic which is in the front, you know. They all think about the dying thing and all the pictures which they have from the Renaissance or from the Middle Ages, not from the Middle Ages, for later on. It's all, you know, they sterben die ganze Zeit, you know. They die the whole time. When you go to British Museum, you walk through the, literally, I walked through there, I felt I had to go to the mikveh afterwards. I felt I was too much in contact with death over there. That's the whole culture, all the cultures were always a question, how do you surmount that you are finished, and you have to leave a big monument or a pyramid or some mummify or something. In the beginning it was interesting and it was less interesting. In the end I was nearly vomiting. I wanted to get out of that place, you know. I couldn't bear that. The ganze Zeit, or the whole culture, all the cultures, the ganze Zeit, always dealing with that, you know. Right? Always dealing with that. You were in Israel lately? Yeah? When you go out of the Israel and you go out down that rope, on the left they have always these pictures. Now they have the pictures of all different kinds of
sportsmen.
No, today they are the Nobel Prize, and Aumann is there and Einstein is there. What Einstein did Duke has with the Medina, I don't know, but Einstein is also there, the Rambam is also there, Weissreis also lived somewhere, was it Cioni, you know, I don't know. But, so they all have these, you saw it. And now I came here, I checked it up again. There's one of them, which he found the oldest inscript, which dates back to a time of around David HaMelech, you know, the oldest inscript. And then it says, a chutzpah, it says on the thing, you saw it, someone saw that? No one saw it? It says on the thing, you can't see it. It says on the thing. And this inscript was enforcing the probability that Malchus Beis David was really there. I tell you there. That means they think it's a tale, it's some fairy tale, the whole thing, David HaMelech, you know. But you know what? We found a snippet of something which makes it us believe that it's real what the Tanakh says. It's not only made up. That's what it says there. I had a to take that off, you know. Or to make a thing like this, you know. Are you crazy? Why? Why is that? Why do people think Sancheirif for sure was there? And you can read in Sancheirif that a big part of his army that was dying, that they wrote. And we say it's a Malach which did it. And that was a question, and now by the way, the archaeologists, it's a question, was it a disease? What was it exactly? No. But it is what the Tanakh says. That's okay, why? Because not the Tanakh says it, because it says in Sancheirif, it says somewhere on a big stone, it's written down. But why also you go to the British Museum, Klal Yisrael isn't there. You go out of the British Museum, you think they are full-blown anti-Semitic. That's what you think. You were once there in the British Museum?
Yeah.
And you can go according to, you know, according to the timeline, you go and then you know, here is Ashur, here is Phoenicia, so now has to be Klal Yisrael, not there. So let's go from Mitzrayim. You go from Mitzrayim. They made it like this. So Mitzrayim, 4,000 before 4,000 minus, you know, when you want like, and you go further and you go further, and now we have to reach Klal Yisrael, not there. And you go from the north, not there. You come from the east, not there. It's not there. It's not there. One coin, perhaps, and things like this. It sounds like a fairy tale. Why is it? You see it when you go to the Shiloh. And the Shiloh, they created the Shiloh, and that was a major achievement from engineering achievement, a major one, because you have to dig from two sides of the stone or of the hull. You have to go from both sides, and you have to make a slope, which goes down because water goes down. You have to make a slope, and you go from two sides. From this side you go up, from this side you go down, and you have to meet in the middle. You know, that's an unbelievable engineering problem. How do you do that? Without GPS and without laser and without anything. It's just, how do you meet in the middle? That you just don't go like this or like that, you know. I don't know how to do that, but they met in the middle. And when they met, you can see it till today, there's a small plaque there which says, Bo Hashem, we finished that work under Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We finished that, we avoided to the Beroilim, that we met each other, and we can make that connection over here. So Sancheriv saw that. And he was very impressed. He went back to Bovel, and he made such a thing. A slope. He made it himself. And then they met. That's right. And then he wrote an unbelievable big thing. I am like God, and I know everything. And it's a whole Megillah. And by there, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you have one little plague, and that's it. What's the difference? He wanted to make himself immortal over here. So you have to make a big stone. David HaMelech is not buried in the... David HaMelech is buried in the Tehillim. He lives. The Rambam is not in Tveria. The Rambam is in the Yad HaChazaka. There he is, his kever. The Rambam is there. In his volumes of writing, there is the Rambam. David HaMelech is in his Tehillim. Yeah? Shmuel HaNavi is not next to me, lies there. No. Shmuel HaNavi is in Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis. There what Shmuel HaNavi is, you know. We are dealing with all these things in an entirely different way. We are living people. And we are not dealing with death as a mean for depth. Not. Yeah? We are not. And this is a tricky point. I know that we spoke once about that, perhaps in such a gathering, but when I speak with people about how to react to tragedy, they are all very alert. It's wrong. For sure, Torah has to say something about that, but that's not the core point of Torah. That's not the core point of Emunah. The core point is, how can we be happy? How can we be connected to life? Not how can we deal with difficult things. That's not the depth. The depth is how can we deal with life. Yeah? And there is the cultural fight we have. That life outside is shallow. It's excitement and curiosity or things like this. And life in Torah has a depth. That's called Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's life. It's sameach. You love it. You like it. But it's a depth. It's dafka a depth. Dafka. Okay? So that is a thing which is today a thing which you have to know. Our life is depending on that. And the development outside in the world makes it more and more clear that that is what we need to work on. Because we have to put something else into the scale than this height with shallowness. Yeah? Otherwise we'll lose it. Clear? Yeah? So there is a lot of teuchen there, for sure. It's not a question of not teuchen. There's a lot of things, and it is an interesting world. Now, don't get me wrong, and I think, no, the world is very uninteresting and there's nothing to be curious about. It is an interesting world, that's no problem. Yeah? It is an interesting world. But we have to find a way that we can live to the full extent, and with the full thing in our mitzvahs, in our being focused or being occupied with one thing. Good? Fine. That's the beginning. That's our... Now you prepare yourself for Shavuos and you prepare yourself for life, you see? Because you have to prepare yourself for life today more than ever. Otherwise it doesn't go. Clear? Is it clear? I think very clear. I have a little bit, it's difficult for me a little bit that that people don't say that about the internet or things like this. They only say the outcome. Terrible. Let's stop that. No, it is a question of how to approach life. Yeah, it's a question of how to approach life. It's an educational question. Only, I understand, it's a question of fire extinction by a lot of people. So you have to do something drastic, perhaps. But be'etzem, it's a question of approaching life. It's not a question about a specific thing. It's a question of how you approach life. Yeah? Good? Fine? Great. Okay. Okay, let's go further on. Clear? Yeah? Very clear. I think it's very clear. Good. Now. So, and now we go slowly into that. Let's go slowly. And I go simply further from what I had yesterday afternoon. So then we go slowly further, and then we'll reach other realms. We are working with that slowly. And again, whenever it's too much or when you want a break, we'll make a break. I won't speak 4 hours straight. I will not do that. Yeah? Okay, we will be very, very normal over here. Yeah? Try to be normal. So, but let's go one thing. Okay. Yeah.
Is there not something to be said for intellectual people to want to have to be curious? You have to, if you are intellectual, so I'm not saying Torah is purely intellectual, but you see an engine, you want to understand how an engine works. What I'm saying is it not natural and can be used in a positive way, the curiosity?
All of it, very good that you ask that, because a lot of people ask themselves that. They don't have the guts to ask me that because they are intimidated. Very good. There's a lot of people ask that. And I want to explain that to you. Let's say Einstein. He wasn't curious. He was occupied with a problem. He was very intelligent, but he wasn't curious. He himself writes that history and things like this doesn't interest him. There were people with even a higher IQ than Einstein which were very interested in history. But when you look at the big people which are really intelligent and highly intelligent and productive, they all are not curious. They all are into one topic. That's not curious. Curious is something else, perhaps not the right word. Curious means that F-Shadow, let's see here, that distracts. I don't have another word than curiosity. When you would be curious in Torah, you would have a Torah Swiss and it's Shvel, and then you'd see, oh, let's see what the Pnei Yeshua says. And then, oh no, perhaps Eddie says also something. Let's look in the Boch Bell. I know perhaps it is. And then you will know a lot of things. You don't understand anything. Curious people, they have perhaps a lot of knowledge, but they don't really understand anything. Because really understanding a thing all over the world, you close down the curiosity. All those people which are really committed to something, the people which are really masmidim, you know what a masmid is? Someone which is a masmid, how do you call it in English? I don't know. There's no word for that. That's right.
Expert.
No, not expert. Masmid means being devoted to one thing. All people which are devoted to one thing, highly intelligent people, they close down their curiosity. All of them.
That's a package.
You search. Yeah, that you search here. Yeah. When you are a big musician, you are not curious. When you are a big mathematician, you are not curious. When you are a big physicist, you are not curious. When you're a big surgeon, you are not curious. You want to understand the thing till the end with all the plotting. But it's not curiosity. Curiosity is something so shallow. I don't have another word. Perhaps I'm lacking an English word over here. But curiosity means this. You know it. When you once were on the internet, you experienced that immediately because you saw a name and then you say, let's look that name up in the Wikipedia, that's right? And then you make it like this and then make to the, I know how to do that. Then go to the other side and say, search Google for that, and then you search for that, and then, aha. And what did it give to you? Nothing. And then you see another thing and you search that and nothing. That's curiosity, senseless. But that's what it does. Yeah?
There's even a saying in English for it. It says, curiosity killed the cat.
That's a saying in English.
Just I don't know. Okay.
So basically,
there's a meaning for what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. It means that you went into a danger.
It's into someone else's business that's not yours.
It's not someone else's business, dear. Perhaps
we will
recoin that, okay, that say. But you understand what I mean? Yeah? Perhaps it's a lack of a word, but it is something shallow which is simply available today. Simply available. This is an availability today that you can know everything, and that's a very dangerous place to be. It's very dangerous. You see this bobomizes they sell you that it makes you more intelligent. It doesn't make you more intelligent. It makes you more broad, which you can't cover. You know, it's like your substance is rich and you have no depth. There's no depth left.
But okay? It's also kind of mitzrayim, isn't it? Because it keeps you unfocused on what's real, and it keeps you trapped in nonsense.
Yeah, okay, so they're being trapped there. I don't want to speak about the internet, I want to speak about the other thing, about the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. I wanted to show that today it is a necessity to contemplate about that. We can't go further on without that. We can't. We have to do something about that. Clear? I think it's very clear. Now, let's go slowly. The first slow step is, I mentioned that yesterday, the first thing is that Judaism, Jewish religiosity, the Chayus Halov says, is built on HaKol HaTov. Yeah? HaKol HaTov. So you think in the nice South African way, you think HaKol HaTov means being polite. Yeah? Say thank you, you know? And vice versa, by you, excuse me to tell you that, by you, vice versa, the God or the Rebbeinu Shlom is really South African, because he enjoys that you say thank you. Yeah? That's what you do. Yeah? He isn't Israeli, for sure not. Yeah? So because he wants thank you. HaKol HaTov doesn't mean thank you. It does not mean that. Because thank you is a very quick way of moving away your duties. You know, thank you, and that's it.
Shkoyach,
that's right. Yeah. It's, for example, only to tell you that, now I don't want you to take that as a personal thing. I was with the Mashgiach for long years, and in the beginning, it was for me always a surprise, an unbelievable surprise, that a Mashgiach learns with me, because he learned with me things which he didn't learn from anyone else. And I didn't know why does he do that. Till now I didn't know really why did he enjoy that to learn with me. I was less than half his age, you know, and he learned with me the Nefesh HaChaim, and his son-in-law came to me and said, please learn Nefesh HaChaim with me, because my Shver won't learn that with me the way he learns it with you. So, but why does he do that? So every single time I was a nice, polite Swiss person, and every single time we finished learning, I told him thank you. To the Rabbah. And he went out. It was a Western upbringing. Till the Mashgiach had enough from that. And he told me once, you shouldn't say thank you. I was learning, he said, I was learning for 13 years or 11 or 13 years with Rav Hutner, and I never told him thank you. So that was like a blow in my face, you know. I was brought up in Switzerland, and that's the way you are, like the good South African, you know. Thank you. And it was an unbelievable favor you did with me. Don't say thank you. Why not? So he told me, because, you know, what I give to you, this is not a thing which I give to you in order you should have it in your pocket and that's it. I give it to you in order you should use it for other people. It's not only for you. So it's much more. So don't say thank you. That makes it small. Yeah? So saying thank you makes a thing small. It's a thing which also, not by over here, we are here in South Africa, you understand that. But once in a while, when I say a vad, and someone comes to me and says, Yashu Koyach, once in a while I want to punch him. You know? אני אמרתי לך דבר שאחר, it's like a truth which you ate and then you make and it was good and then thank you. And that's what I want. Does really that's what I want? No, I don't want that. I want you to work with it. I want you to do something with it. I want you to go deeper. I want you to use it for others. I want that this should do something with you. Thank you is a way to pay it off, and that's it. You know, steal, that's it. So,
is it a validation of what the person has given you, though?
What?
Aren't you also by saying thank you, you're validating what he's done for you?
Yes. Okay. I tell you, I don't now fight the South African chinuch. No. Because I fight in Eretz Yisrael enough. You have to know in Eretz Yisrael. With the South African, I have a problem once in a while because I am not such a soft-spoken, nice person. And a South African once told me that they think I'm not a real rabbi. Because a real rabbi is soft-spoken and nice and polite, and I can be like into your teeth, you know. Whenever I have a bad mood, then don't sit next to me because you'll get it, you know. So that's not a real rabbi. So South African, I understand that. But the Mashgiach said something. Yeah? Let's take the Mashgiach said something, and he said something very profound. No, don't say thank you. Don't. Use it. Work with it. Go deeper. That's the thank you. Yeah? That is the and now that is the point. Hakoras Hatoiv. So Hakoras Hatoiv doesn't mean I express my gratitude. No. Hakoras means recognizing the good. And recognizing the good has no limits. When you recognize the good, you can go deeper. And deeper and deeper, because there is no limit. It is a very good exercise by you at home that you are having Hakoras HaToiv to your spouse. That's very good. Because you are experiencing that, but you don't go deeper. What is there? Going deeper. And you live with a person for years and you don't go deeper. What's there for you? What is there that you have a Toive? That you have a person there which takes care, and the person there which is intelligent and wants you and speaks with you and gives you a TLS, and you don't go deeper. Yeah? You don't go deeper. It's very shallow. Yeah? Very shallow. Even when you will say, when you have once in a while you're honored by a banquet, and then you thank your wife and say, I want to thank my wife, which enabled me to do all these things, and Zema Sheyesh Lecha Babayit. It's much more, you know, that you have to be makir toive. You have to recognize the toive which is there and is going deeper. That is Jewish religion, you see. And to your amazement, all the other religions, they are seeing depth in the role. Something bad happens to me, but even though the beroilim is there, unbelievable deep. But when something good happens to me, fine, very good, I'm grateful. That's all. No, I have to deepen my understanding in what happened over here. That's the Kohen, you know. The Kohen is not by the death. The Kohen is by the life. Because the depth of your Jewish religion is Makir Toive. I recognize what's good. And I recognize it deeper. Good? So that's the first step. When we want to work ourselves about on simcha of everything, of anything, we have to get used to that Chovas HaLevavos, which he says that's the cornerstone of our religion. The cornerstone of our religion is Hakoras HaToiv. That means that we are, the good things we have, we are going deeper. We are makir that. We are have a hakore that this is a deep thing I have. Yeah? Is it with our family? Is it with food? Is it with in the morning you have it with all of, that's the brachas we say, you know? Opening the eyes, stretching your limbs, and then you say a bracha, you know? And then you're, but it's unbelievable, when you look at the birchas hashachar, it's unbelievable that you say a bracha, b'shem u'malchus, on those things that you just are able to get up, you know? And they're able to open your eyes. And able that your you have something to wear, you know. You say Boruch. Boruch ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Malbish Arumim, you know. You say Boruch, this is a thing which needs a Boruch, you know. It's like saying Kiddush. Yeah? So it's unbelievable. You put on something and that's you are makir the teiva, that you have something. So that can go very deep, you can see that very deep. When you are a Kabbalistic person, then you see their worlds. But it is means your clothing there too, yeah? But when you are a Baal Musar, then you see it in a very sensual thing, you know. When you see about Hasidus, you see it in a different way, Levushim, and that, all with the, whatever you have. But you have it that you put on the clothing and you say thank you to the Boreh Olam, but it's not thank you. It is HaKoras HaToyv. You go deeper, you see, it's more to it than only the shallow thing you have. Yeah? That is the backbone of our religion in the positive sense. You see, it's positive things. You say brachos on good things. Birchas ha'ne'enin, yav ha'noe. But the ha'noe is not only ha'noe. You see the depth of the concept, the birchas ha'ne'enin. Because I don't have to explain to you what you are ne'ene. Yeah, you have a good over here. What do you like in South Africa? Boltong or whatever it is. You know, you like that. So whatever it is, you like that, and you eat. I have to explain to you what's the Hanoi? No. But when they say a brocha on that, it sounds to me that there is much more than the Hanoi. Otherwise, you don't say a brocha on it. You know, Elamai, you think a brocha means saying thank you. But you are saying Shem Hashem, which is also to say. Yeah? Saying thank you is a very shallow way to say. Yeah? No, it's not only thank you. It's a broche, it's a ribui, it's a hashpoa in the world. It's an unbelievable depth over here in this piece of food you have. In this, you know? So today I had to say, I had a tchina on my hands. So what do you do now, you know? I can't put it. No, when you would have a plastic on the table, so then you could do it. But now these South Africans, they are more cultured. They don't have a plastic. Not like Eretz Israel, and you have Israel on the table. It's always a plastic on it. It makes you crazy. That's right. So now you have plastic. So can't make it like this. Don't do it. You make it like that. But then you have to say broche. You know? And so I had a finger with a trina, and I had to say, Boruch Hashem, Shakri Boruch. Nice HaKoros HaToyv, that's right? And I had to get rid of that trina over here, you know? But I eat it. I get the Hanoi. So it wasn't this big, the Toivo, which is the thank you. It is the recognition that the Boruch Hashem gives me food. He gives me food, and it's even tasty, you know? And it's much more to that even. That's the HaKoros HaToyv we have, that's the Chovos HaLevavos. Okay, it's the first step. Now, I want to say the next step and then we'll make a short break. That's good that we have an hour and then less than an hour, because otherwise it gets like... Okay, you're masking? Otherwise I'm too much putting pressure. Yeah? I know that you have to tell me that. We are used one to the other. I can be a caterpillar, you know. I can make people flat. I know that. Because I have a lot of energy and I can really be too much for the people. Yeah? That means I could speak 4 hours. And then that would be not good because it wouldn't say anyone, you know. It's not good. So when I make a break, when it's too much now, you can say me now for sure. But I only want to make that next step beginning. That is a new thing for me too. Till now, that's what I thought, what I said already, but now it's a new thing. To have that, you have to have an attitude to your life, that your life presents opportunities. That's Bichidish. Yeah? When you eat something, it's an opportunity of recognition for the Beroilah. You have to approach life which presents in front of you opportunities. Then you are able to detect depth. But when you are not approaching life as opportunities, only that's what it is, then it is the it's like you have to make a break beforehand. You understand what I mean? It's an opportunity. When I daven, for example, my Shmon Esra is an opportunity. It's not only an obligation, it's an opportunity to meet the Bore Olam, to meet Hashem. It's an opportunity. And then I can detect depth. Then I can detect simcha. But when it's not an opportunity, the flow of life makes me dull. You know? It makes me that I don't see that. This is the first challenge we have with this simcha shel mitzvah, that we have to reveal that a mitzvah is an opportunity. Yeah, about this?
With your Shmona Esra example, you didn't create that opportunity, you were forced into it.
Which one?
The Shmona Esra that you done. That example, you said you need to create opportunities. You weren't? You didn't?
But I understand. I am all forced, but I create it within my own heart, that I look at it as an opportunity. You know? When I am forced, I have to. I ask for an appointment by some known being, and then I'm forced to go in a certain time. So I'm forced to go at that time. But I look at it as an opportunity, even though I have to do it now. I can't say no. I have no time. I have to come in time, but it's an opportunity. So by Hashem, Chazal forced me to go Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv. That's what I'm forced to. But I'm forced into an opportunity that I have to create that within myself, that I make from that an opportunity. That's the challenge, yeah? And when I don't make from it an opportunity, I will not be able to reveal the simcha. We'll speak about that. Why? And where do I see it? But this is the challenge. You understand that? That's the challenge. When you want it in a very deep way, but in a very poignant way, I spoke it out to a friend of mine, this point, and then he said, that you see the people still are working. There are people still there which are working. He had a no and said, I when I told him it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity a davening, or it's an opportunity to say birchas hanenim. And then he looked at me and said, yes, you know what? In avodas Hashem, there is no past. There is no perfectum. There's no past. There's nothing like this. So that is a profound way to say it. Because we are all caught from that there is a life and there is a past, and now I do it because I did it once. No, I don't do it because I did it once. There's no past. There's only the present now. That's the opportunity. That is the depth of the approach. That you approach, it is a present opportunity. Yeah? Yeah? We'll have it when you want to make a pun, or I don't know what that is. It has to do something with the word present, which is in time, now, and in things, it is a gift. That it is. Yeah? When you're approaching a thing in the present, then you see it is a gift. And when you approach a thing not in the present, only because the past, then it's not a gift, then it's not an opportunity. Yeah, it's like in English. That's like in English the word. I don't want to make that's what they mean in English. And I'm now a linguistic man. People like that. I'm not. But only that's the point. Yeah, when you approach your life from a present state, not from a past. And not from that what you are used, only it is an opportunity which you are facing now. And this is a challenge we will have to deal with in after a little bit when we have Sakar. We have to deal with that in the next shlav of this morning. Okay? But you see, I want to make it clear. I know I push you over here. I know that. And I spoke with Rav Gidon that we will do that. Yeah? I know I take you through the grinder now, yeah? But that is where we are holding. That we are a group. It's not no more that I have to show you that Torah is good. It's no more that I have to show you that Leuchter is perhaps worth something. That's not the point. The point is we want to work. But when we want to work, that is like this. That's what you do. You can't work sitting back and relax. No, work is work, yeah? So I think that was a good hakdama before working in the next hour. Okay, I've come for now. Sei gesund.